listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. On behalf of everybody at HeritageRadioNetwork.com, we'd like to send a special thank you to the Hearst Ranch, our biggest supporter and longest-running sponsor since we first started in 2009. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, visit www.hearstranch.com.
While we sing our song, come on! Rub, rub, rubber, rub, 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 rub. Play and sing along.
Hey, Ernie, I think I've got it.
Hello, good morning. This is Alessandra, your host with Growing Good. This is a new weekly parenting show on Heritage Radio Network for all you parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, babysitters, nannies, whoever is taking care of our precious little joys, just helping them make their diets, their world, their playtime, their surroundings, their politics a little better one day at a time. So today I'm so excited because I have such an amazing guest on the air with me who has come all the way down from the beautiful lands of the Catskills County. Her name is Jill Wiener, and she is one of the heads of the Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy organization. You can find out after this program more about her efforts and her followers' efforts on CatskillCitizens.org. So today we're going to be talking about a really crazy, insane situation going on in our surroundings that many of us Brooklyners and New York City folk might not know about, called fracking. So I stumbled upon this topic myself as a parent, a young parent, because I get to go up to the Catskills a lot. I visit some friends of mine who own farms up there. Many of you probably have friends who are spending their weekends on their new land up there, who are, you know, looking to invest in the beautiful land up there. And when I was going out visiting, I started noticing all these signs on people's lawns, you know, a big frack with a big red bullseye slash across it. And I asked my best friend and confidant, Jen Watts, like, you know, what the heck is going on with all these signs? And I was so surprised about how little I knew about the topic. So Jill today is going to let us know more about what's going on. And as we go further into our first and second segment, we'll tackle on how this really affects us as parents, how it affects our families, food shed, our drinking supply, our children, the future, etc. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Alessandra. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you so much. It's so nice of you to make the drive down. It's not that bad of a drive, but it can get kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I grew up on Long Island, and I lived in Manhattan for a long time, and I know Brooklyn pretty well, so that's no problems.
Wonderful. So where are you living now in the Catskills?
Well, I live in the Delaware River Basin in a town called Calicoon Center. It's a tiny little place. Beautiful rural farmlands, very wet, really very wet right now, but yeah. We do have a lot of water, ponds, streams, creeks, and that makes it very attractive for the drillers because, and this fracking is really shorthand for this unconventional shale gas extraction, and it's a very industrial process and really pretty frightening to be sticking into our very rural and pristine area. So, and I'm in the Delaware River Basin.
Right. So why don't you explain to us, you know, illiterate people, what is fracking? Let's just start with the basic scare here.
So fracking is a way to get gas out of the shale formation that is a mile or 2 miles below us. And it's not really in New York City proper, but New York City and New Jersey, and we get our water down here from upstate New York, so either from the New York City watershed or from the Delaware River Basin. And this extraction process is basically very new. The industry will tell you it's been going on since the 40s or 50s, but that's not true.
It's a lie.
In 2003, they drilled the first hydrofract, high-volume horizontal hydrofract well. And before that, they would use hydrofracking. You use hydrofracking to drill a water well, but it's different. And now we're talking millions of gallons of fresh water mixed with hundreds of thousands of gallons of chemicals. And right now the chemicals are secret and toxic.
Right. And they're promising that it's not, but we have proof that it is.
Yeah. Well, in the very beginning, in 2008, when Brad Fields, who's the head of the Mineral Resources Division, came and told us, and we have the proof of it, that the mixture was play sand, something you're probably familiar with right. as a parent,
yeah.
and stuff that you would find under your sink and maybe some citric acid.
Yeah.
And it turns out that's not really true at all. It's a mix of hundreds of possible chemicals that they can put into the ground and mix with this clean water, so you'll never have clean water again. Once it gets into the ground. And so they pump it down under very high pressure into the ground on a 5-acre well pad. They go down about a mile. They can go out then horizontally a mile. And they can do that from one well pad in 6 or 8 different directions. So
wow.
6 or 8 different laterals. And they've done it actually up to 16 different laterals. And then each one of those wells can be refracked. So when you start doing the math and the amount of water that they would use, the amount of water that stays in the ground, which is anywhere between 10 and 20% of the flowback, comes back up. So 80% basically will stay in the ground mixed with these chemicals. New York has a very fractured geology. It can migrate, and methane migrates. And there have been many thousands of instances of water contamination, spills, accidental spills. There's also a tremendous amount of truck traffic every single time that they do.
Of,
well, so now you're talking emissions and yeah. loss of enjoyment of your home and widening of roads and runoff and forest Everything. Fragmentation. And then there's infrastructure. I mean, it's a very
so
scary.
So I also imagine that it also, does it start to contaminate the dirt itself that the farmers are farming on?
Well, if the water is contaminated, yes. Then if, let's say that there's a spill, maybe it's an accident. Sometimes there's a term now called midnight dumping, so that the right. trucks are not metered that take some of the flow back.
Right.
And they need to go to places where they can actually dump this legally. And the closest place right now, I believe, is Ohio.
Okay.
Now, they're not doing this in New York State yet.
Okay.
But they are doing it in Pennsylvania right over the Delaware River.
If we don't fight, it's only a matter of time.
Exactly.
Before they run out of land in Ohio, et cetera.
Exactly. Well, you'll notice that I brought this 1,095-page document with me.
I know,
it's
you're
a
good.
Prop. I brought a prop. I'll put it down so maybe you can hear.
Yeah.
But that's just on my lap. So it's about 6 pounds of paper printed front and back. And this is the newly released draft regulations that Governor Cuomo and Commissioner Martens from the DEC have offered us with rules for industrialized drilling in upstate New York.
So quickly talking about the governors, because I know that that's like a huge other conversation, so I don't want to dwell too much there, but wasn't there something that happened where when they were running, they promised that this was not going to happen in certain areas, and now they've retracted and they are saying that only Albany is safe or something? Did I watch something like this on the news?
Well, when Governor Cuomo was running, and we actually met Governor Cuomo at several different outreach meetings, and he said, I hear you. You know, we made our concerns known. I hear you. Nothing will happen unless it's safe. Well, it's still not safe. The industry hasn't proven to be a good actor. And we can see that from the industrial experiment that's going on in Pennsylvania right now.
Right.
And even the insiders of the industry call it that, an industrial experiment. They learn every day, but they're still not behaving and using best practices. And even best practices would still industrialize basically the water and food shed of New York City. in this 1,095-page draft, which is still not complete, there is an exemption. Right now, they've taken the New York City watershed and the Syracuse watersheds off the table, and that's because they would need a second determination because they're unfiltered watersheds. In order to do a filtration system for the New York City water would be billions upon billions of dollars. And
of whose dollars?
Well, our dollars.
Our dollars.
We actually...
Exactly. This is a big thing.
Yeah. Just on the economic side, the most unbelievable thing about the oil and gas industry is, I think it was Reader's Digest or the Christian Science Monitor did a study about how much money every year goes into the oil and gas industry in different tax breaks and subsidies, right, and $41 billion.
Yeah.
Now they take that money, and you'll notice right now there are ads on television telling you how, and the radio, how warm and fuzzy natural gas is. It's just the greenest, most wonderful thing, and oh, this fracking is perfectly safe.
Absurd.
Completely absurd. You can see I'm rolling my eyes. Some of you can't see. I'm rolling my eyes. And so they're spending now millions and millions of dollars.
Which is just frightening because one of my upcoming segments is about the recent school budget cuts in our neighborhood. So when you put those numbers together, it's like...
Yeah, no, there's so many other things that we could be doing with this money. But now they're taking our tax money, their free money, feeding us a big line of how safe and good they are. And we're paying for it. It's very infuriating, especially to the people who are on the ground.
And now
here.
How are they're approaching the farmers themselves and trying to buy their land, you know, independently? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, there are landsmen that come around and they sell you a bill of goods, and then you'll never see them again. And then it turns out that also leases.
So that must get very political in the towns themselves, because say you have someone that's not selling and then the people that are against selling. So, I mean, it's just disrupting harmony in the community.
Absolutely. It's divided towns. We also have landowner groups that have formed. So there are landowner groups that are forming in order to get the best deals possible for their people, for their members. Now, just to go back to the watersheds, you know, they've taken them out of the of consideration for the moment. That doesn't mean that they won't one day be put on, back on the table. And they're not really safe because you can drill under them. You can drill by the pipes, those gigantic leaky pipes that all know about, old. And water and methane water doesn't know any boundaries. It migrates hundreds of miles underground. There are underground migrations. And if it's taking along its chemical friends with it, you know, and not all chemicals are bad, but these happen to be particularly bad.
So when we're talking about, I just want to stop you there, hundreds of miles, you're talking about us. You're talking about the city. You're talking about Brooklyn. This is an issue that is 100% going to affect us people. So you need to get involved. In the second segment, we are going to be talking about how to get involved, how to support Jill's organization, but also independently what you can do. You know, she alone now today has brought me, you know, tons of pamphlets that I'm going to be bringing around town and stickers and whatnot, just community consensus on why this affects us. You may be sitting at home thinking, oh, well, I don't live in the Catskills, but your water does. And most of your favorite restaurants buy their vegetables and their foods and their meats from up there, which will affect us all. And we'll talk about that more in the second segment. So I think we're ready here for our song break. And today's theme is Harry Nilsson, one of my favorite psychedelic old children for life.
It's me and my arrow. Me and my arrow. Taking the high road. Wherever we go, everyone knows it's me and my arrow. And in the morning when I wake up, she may be gone, I don't know. And if we make up just to break up, I'll carry on. Oh yes, I will. Me and my arrow. Do 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 do.
Everybody, this is Alessandra. We're back with Growing Good. I have Jill Wiener here from the Catskills Citizens for Safe Energy Organization. We've been talking about fracking and the fight against it, anti-fracking. That's what we're all about. So after we air today, you can pick back up on segment one if you've missed it, because I want to keep going here. Jill has so many facts. Right now, we're going to talk about the Park Slope Food Co-op and how they've involved themselves in this fight.
Yeah, we were very pleased last year to find that the Park Slope Food Co-op had sent a letter urging a moratorium in New York. There was a Senate and Assembly bill that actually Governor Patterson did not sign into law. But that they went and supported and said, if this fracking goes ahead in upstate New York, they're going to, you know, they have a huge, they're huge buyers
right.
of food and produce. And
we're talking about restaurants, markets, and the people
yes.
themselves in
yes.
Park Slope.
Yes. And but the Park Slope Food Co-op is this gigantic food co-op with thousands and thousands of members, and they have huge buying power. And they said they will stop buying food from farms in affected areas, which is, that's huge.
Okay.
You know, where I live, our biggest industries, we have three: healthcare, agriculture, and tourism. And agriculture and tourism are completely codependent with each other.
Sure.
Our tourism is so strong because our agriculture is so strong, because we're so rural and beautiful.
I'm a tourist. That's how I found out about this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the tourist.
Right. And we live on this formation called the Marcellus Shale. And underneath the Marcellus Shale is actually the Utica Shale, which is a wider area and also targeted. And then I looked at a map one day. I said, well, what if they really do this here? Where am I going to go? So I looked at this map, which, okay, you can't see really out there, but there's shale everywhere.
Right.
You know, there's shale in, it looks like 50% of the states, maybe more,
right.
have shale underneath, and they're all targeted by the industry. So
I think what makes you more of a target is that there's so much sparseness, and you guys really just keep that county so beautiful that they can get in there more. You know, people own more property as opposed to having lots of buildings and lots of people they have to deal with, right?
Well, that's true, except for we're actually much more dense than the places where they've been out west.
Oh,
and
wow.
And our geology is very different. So in New York and the Marcellus, we have a very fractured geology, and the shale is much deeper. In out west, it's much drier. They don't have the underground water that we have, and the geology is not quite as already pre-fractured as it is here.
Right.
And
so if this starts to happen, other things that will affect us, I mean, is this going to affect our market prices and our food prices at our restaurants? There'll be less food, I mean, for restaurants to buy, or will that take many years to happen?
Well, no, I would think so. I mean, you know, if you have farmers that are selling out and closing up shop, all
right.
of a sudden, you're going to have less food. And
right.
if you have less food, you're going to have more expensive food.
Right.
And then are you going to trust your food? I mean, this
right.
is a huge problem.
This is a huge problem. And for me as a parent, that really freaks me out. You guys already know the rent prices we're paying. And, you know, you already know our unemployment rate is up. And if you want to start adding, not get involved and not help this issue, you're going to start adding, you know, huge expenses at the grocery store, you know, bigger bills at your restaurants. And what Jill is saying is that you might actually be paying for something that is harmful to you. So this is just an all-around full-on attack on us, the people down here.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, there are many things that we can do. I don't want to frighten everybody and then say,
right.
oh, and bye-bye.
Right, right. No, of course. Let's talk about how we can get involved. What's going on?
Right. So we formed as a result of the industry coming into our area and starting to sign up people to lease. And we formed a bunch of people, sat around a kitchen table or a dining room table in 2008. And now we have a working board of 10 people. We're all grassroots, volunteered. Not one of us gets paid for anything that
right.
we do. And we have over 7,000 members. And we're do these fantastic action alerts. So you can go to CatskillCitizens.org, and on our homepage are three right now really wonderful action alerts. The first one is to ask for 180 days to comment on this gigantic document. Okay. Right now, when the rest of the document comes out at the end of this month, we'll have 60 days to comment.
Right.
And the link to the document is also on our homepage, CatskillCitizens.org. And it's well worth picking up a chapter of it,
sure,
reading it, and actually making comments on it.
And the comments are online, or letters to our politicians, or how does somebody comment?
You comment by actually, we'll have a forum up where you'll be able to get to the DEC to make your comments.
Wow.
But in the meantime, look at the document and then do the action alert on our homepage that asks Commissioner Martens for 180 days instead of the 60.
Right.
60 days to comment and read this, digest it, understand it, and comment on it.
Right, that's a swindle, because you're basically saying it'll take about 60 days to understand this huge thing that's in front of me. So how do you...
We're not experts.
Right.
We need substantive comments from everybody.
Sure. Business owners. We're the people.
Business owners, moms, dads, kids, grandparents.
I like this action alert. What's the second on your action alert right now?
The second action alert is to support the New York Times reporter, investigative journalist, Ian Urbina, who had come under great criticism from the industry and actually from then inside the newspaper for reporting on the activities of the industry.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. And
I mean, that's like against freedom of speech. So basically, he reported on something he thought was important, and now he's getting slack for it?
Well, he has been completely vindicated. All of his reports have been vetted, and he put documentation.
But still, he had
up.
To go through that process just to
still there,
support.
Exactly. So we have a letter up there. It's probably a month old now. We're going to have a new action alert up. But, you know, still, people should be going in, and it links to his reports and taking a look at what really is happening and what the industry is all about, including the, sort of false claims of economic growth in the industry. And the third one, which would be of particular interest to you, is to support this congressional bill called the Endocrine Disruption Act.
Okay.
And some of the chemicals that are put into the fracking fluid are endocrine disruptors. And there's a wonderful organization, Theo Coburn, out in Colorado, I believe, has an organization called TEDx. It's the Endocrine Disruption Exchange. And this bill that's in Congress now would sort of disclose and regulate a lot of these chemicals that are right now not and are very dangerous.
Because basically, like, a second venue is that if this is going to happen, you guys want to at least start eliminating some of the bad chemicals. Is that like your plan B?
Well, yes, we want them eliminated, because even if they are disclosed, and there's talk about disclosure,
right,
they're still toxic. So, you know, the words secret and toxic are actually should always go together.
Right. And that's what this program is all about, you guys. You know, we're parents. We want to be more informed. We want to know what we're feeding our kids, what's happening to their land, their future. So you can go on to CatskillCitizens.org and I'm sure sign up for some sort of monthly...
Yes, well, we send out action alerts probably once every 3 or 4 weeks.
Great.
Maybe every 2 weeks if there's something urgent. And, you know, we don't want anybody to suffer from email fatigue.
Right, sure. But still, I mean, you can get involved yourself. And I also see up there, you know, you have wonderful events. And just another way for, you know, you all to get a grasp on what I'm talking about. You know, me and my baby son, Wally, he's now 15 months old. We go up every 6 to 8 weeks. And that alone is an inspiration. What she was talking about, you know, supporting just by being a tourist. There's amazing bed and breakfast up there. The people, I mean, it's been so wonderful. They're so welcoming. The children are just, I have to really say, on another level, they're so happy. The schools are amazing. So even if you just want to see for yourself, it's self-explanatory. If you take a drive up there, take your loved ones, go around. I've been to Crystal Lake. I've been to Sand Lake.
Yeah, no, they're beautiful places. basically 2 hours from Midtown Manhattan.
Right.
It really is easy to get to. You sort of need to drive, or I guess there's a bus that'll go up to part to like Monticello, sure. and then somebody can pick you up. And it's an amazing area and very clean. And right. great community.
And our neighbor. I mean, we are one. You just don't think about it because sometimes you're stuck in the New York City bustle. You're more, you know, preoccupied with getting some horrible pothole covered up that's been in your street for 3 years. You know, and, you know, we are plagued with so many, like, small issues that you don't look at the bigger thing, which is the state of New York. And that is our state. We aren't just city people. We're state people, you guys. So we need to get involved in all of the New York state issues.
Yeah. And we, you know, where I am, we feel very responsible for New York City too.
Yeah. I mean, I get that love when I get up there. That's why I was so excited to do this show. It's just been so beautiful for me and for my son coming up there.
Right. We're the caretakers of your water and your food, basically.
There you have it. That's what's going on. Is there anything else, Jill, before we go that you wanted to recap that's important to you? We have a couple minutes.
Yeah, just please go to our website. Sign. If you do one of our action alerts, you'll automatically become a member.
Right.
And we'd love to have you.
That's so wonderful. You know. Thank you so much for driving down, Jill. We may make this a part tour. Jill might do, you know, a phone in a couple months. We'll keep you guys all updated on this important issue, anti-fracking. Stop it now. Wally is not here with me today, you guys. We had a crazy night last night of teething. He's got his two back molars coming in. Poor little guy. He's coughing up a storm. So he is being strolled around by my best friend Carrie outside. He won't be here to say hello today, but he will be here next week with our other guests. And we love you very much. Love and light to you all. This is Growing Good signing out with your host Alessandra and baby Wally. Bye-bye. Take care of each other.
Tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loved me till the end. People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a one-boy cuddly toy, my up, my down, my pride and joy. People, let me tell you about him. He's so much fun, whether we're talking man to man or whether we're talking sun to sun.
Every spring at the end of kidding season, goat dairies across the country are faced with the question of what to do with their male bucklings. Because on a dairy farm, there's no role for a male. Often the most economical thing for these farmers to do is to cull the animals at birth or ship them off to the commodity market. Heritage Foods USA is embarking on a new project, No Goat Left Behind, looking to step in and fill this niche by creating a marketplace for these male bucklings. Visit us at www.heritagefoodsusa.com to learn more and to reserve your goat this coming October.
This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer. There's a lot of posturing and talking around raw milk these days and how great it is. But if you really want to get a full-on investigation into the pros and cons, the risks and benefits of raw milk consumption, here's a nifty website, www.realrawmilkfacts.com. It has a laundry list of FAQs, along with information from studies and reports from American and European science communities. If you flirt with raw milk consumption, this is definitely worth taking a look at. This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer.